Welcome, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Pookie signing on for this special episode of the Sexual Healing Podcast. This was actually our pilot episode that it took me, I'd say, a good 6 weeks to figure out all the different technical sides to get it edited. And we were using a virtual recording room at the time, and it just messed up the synchronicity and everything else. So this track has been hell to edit, but I believe I've conquered it, and we're happy to share it with you. There is quite a bit of material that's cut out because it was just bad audio quality. There's still some clicks and pops in there, but I think the intent of what we wanted to talk about is pretty clear. We're happy to share it with you, and once again, welcome to the Sexual Healing Podcast. And hope you enjoy. Hello, brothers, bristers, and sisters, and misters. Welcome to the premiere episode of Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom with Dr. Pookie and Dark Boy. This podcast is all about all things sexual, healing, as well as the male sex, and life for black gay men. Starring myself, Dr. Pookie, and we also have my co-host here.
Hey, I'm Dark Boy.
Thank you, Dark Boy. So I'm wondering, what's one of the most interesting things you've seen the past week, Dark Boy?
I saw a video the other day. Mm-hmm. This black woman, 70 years old, she's been doing a raw food diet since the 1960s.
Damn.
And this woman looks like she could be in her 30s, and she is 70.
Ooh, is anything cracked? And
there is nothing cracked. Damn. I mean, the way she moved, the way she looks, mm-hmm. she looks younger. She doesn't move like somebody that's 70. I mean, she literally, she called it that the raw food diet was her fountain of youth. And to me, it's working. I mean, she juices, she doesn't cook anything. Nothing's cooked, no vegetables, no nothing. It's all raw.
So she's actually at a jungle with it. Like, she's just out in the wilderness.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Everything, basically the way it comes off the tree is the way she eats it.
Ooh.
You know, that's how she does it. Her husband, on the other hand, did not do that. And he the aging process was not so kind on him.
Mm.
So it's very obvious. And now, obviously, he's regretting at this point that he didn't follow her lead. Mm-hmm. But it's too late now.
Oh my.
He even said it was too late. He's not going to try to do it now. So
was she on the news and she's wearing like a red?
Yes.
Oh my God. That cannot be her.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, her husband looked crazy. I'm sorry,
yeah,
brother.
Like I said, he looks like somebody from the clumps or.
Oh my God. Yeah, he does. Ooh.
Or from Medea.
Yeah. Her name is Annette Larkins. Vegan diet. I just did a Google search of 70 year old black woman, and then it completed finds fountain of youth. Damn, she looked good.
Yep.
Wow. Like, you can tell, you know, she's not 30 because the eyes, but she looked better than me. Oh, wow.
Yes, she looks. I'm telling you, she does not look 70.
Okay.
She does not look 70.
Okay, so.
And in that little video, she does talk. I think the reporter might have asked her about plastic surgery. So she did not have any plastic surgery.
Wow.
And I think she said she would maybe consider it when she was 80. She doesn't know, but she might consider it when she's 80. But she ain't doing it now.
Oh, did you see the picture of her in her black bodysuit with the slits on the side and the boots?
Yeah, see, she is.
Oh, she is a bad one. I love it. You go, mama. Wow, she looks younger than I do. Oh, I feel raggedy.
And she's 70.
Ooh,
she is 70.
I need to get my shit together. That's just all that is. Okay, I'm inspired. We'll see how long it lasts, because, you know, life is rough that way.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the consensus is we need to get us some raw veggies and work that out. And some, you know, some, well, fruit is easy, but the vegetables.
Yes.
Actually, I don't like vegetables. You know, they don't bother me. But
yeah.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
And since I've gone vegetarians so far this year. I'm eating more vegetables than I probably ever have. So,
And yeah, see, and I was supposed to start too, and I just haven't gotten around to it. You know, like I said, I'm still dreaming of hamburgers, and it's just wrong. And I need to not dream of those, but they're.
You could dream, just maybe not eat. Just
well, yeah, but
keep them in your
but
dreams.
If I dream of it, I'm gonna wake up wanting it, and then I can't have it, and then it's just a bad day. It's compromised, as we say. It's even tragic that I'm having visions of burgers, and you know, but yeah, that's just foolishness. It's all about mind over matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll have.
It's not as hard as you think. I mean, well, for me, it has not been super hard, because my first thing was to say, well, I'll just do it for a month, because I thought maybe a month is all I could do. But it's already going on a month now, and so far, so yeah. Good. So I'm gonna keep doing it as long as I can do it.
I'll be right. I'm right behind you. It's also a grocery thing. It's just it's habit, you know. To just, you know, put me some ground turkey in the cart, you know, but I can make a very nice, you know, red sauce with vegetables galore. And, you know, even my boy Jesse, when he visited once, he made it, he had like mushroom and peppers, and he put some cinnamon in it. It was like a really good ass sauce. And some zucchini. Ooh. You know, so it was, I didn't miss the meat at all. It wasn't, you know, it's just like, to me, whenever I think of a red sauce, it's just automatically, let me put some ground turkey in there. Once upon a time, it was ground beef, and I even used to use the ground pork, the ground veal, the ground chicken, you know, just have a cornucopia of meats in there. But, I mean, there are some great red sauces out there that are just vegetable-based, and you can do some different things. I wonder, maybe in like some turmeric, you know, I don't know, but just to add a little variety.
No, I mean, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yes, just because there's no meat in it does not mean it's bland. That's what I am discovering. It is still good.
Well, yeah, we are children of the African diaspora, and you know, I grew up in a Southern household, so you got to have some meat on it, or it ain't right.
Right.
And I know that's fallacy. I recognize that is not a true statement, but that's how we grew up. So
yes.
I don't know, but. Okay, so it looks like, you know, we'd both do the raw food diet, or at least
I would totally do it.
Investigate. I wonder if I did it, would it, like, you know, snap some things back? You know, I'm just saying.
It might.
I mean, like, if I could be my age with a body of 10, 15, 20 years ago, I'd be dangerous. Because I'd know better, and I'd certainly do better. That is the fantasy, is it not?
Yes, exactly. Mm.
Okay. We're all warmed up, and we got the cobwebs and the nerves out the way. So
I think so.
Yeah. So we wanted to get into our first featured topic of our first show, and it would be knowing your value. And this was inspired in part by what's going on with Sister Monique, but also to a lesser extent with Wanda Sykes and also Taraji P. Let's start with talking about what's going on with those sisters and our thoughts on it, and then maybe we can go into knowing our value as Black gay men.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to kick us off?
Yeah. You know, with Monique, I actually, when I saw the video of her asking everybody to basically kind of boycott Netflix, I was a little shocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't blame her. Part of me thought that this was kind of a replaying of what had happened with her and Lee Daniels. So I didn't realize that this was a new thing that has popped up, and that she was having a hard time negotiating her pay from, I guess, an upcoming special they were going to do on Netflix. And so I understand where she is. I feel bad she has to do that. We're still at the stage where, you know, women, Black women, have to basically get online and I don't want to say beg, but ask people to boycott the pay discrepancy. You know, when I hear Amy Schumer, I think she got like, was it $12 million? Like, she was originally going to be given 10.
Yeah.
And she negotiated $2 million more. And then I hear Wanda Sykes got paid $250,000. So it's just.
Well, she got offered that. Yeah, Wanda got offered $250, and she said, "Oh, well, that's cute," and she packed up her shit and went elsewhere.
Okay, well,
and I don't know how much she got from them, but certainly, you know, Epics. I'm familiar with the network. I think I don't know what their audience looks like, but you know, Wanda made the best decision for her, and I don't know, Monique. Sister obviously has receipts. You know, it's my understanding that she is the most frequently awarded black female comedian in history, with 57. Right behind her is Whoopi Goldberg with 56. But Whoopi, of course, is the EGOT. You know, so she, you know, Monique, you can't touch the EGOT, girl. That's not happening. It's just right. Not, you know. Right. It's like, you got that Oscar, and we love an Oscar, you know, Mary Jones, damn. You know, I can see you now, and you know, but I'm like, she's been kind of off the radar, so I can understand why they lowballed her in that regard, but $500,000 was bullshit. You know, I don't know, maybe the black urban audience with Netflix isn't, like, very big, maybe we're not generating a ton of money for them, but I know they jack my account every month, and they've been jacking it for, like, 5 years. So, if not longer than that. Mm. So, I have to think that I'm not the only person out there spending money on Netflix and watching content.
No.
So, I do think that, you know, I can understand Netflix's perspective, but my whole thing is, I understand they paid Amy Schumer a lot of money and didn't get close to making it back. You know, and so I don't know if they're trying to be more cautious with Monique, like, oh, you know, we got to really go low so we don't lose more money, because they are shelling out a shitload of money nowadays. But I just kind of feel like Monique definitely had far more receipts than Amy Schumer. I don't find Amy's ass funny at all.
I think she's funny.
Is she funny?
But
okay.
She can get kind of like silly funny.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know about... To me, Monique is funnier.
Yeah, Monique, I mean, and people can say Monique is very vulgar in her humor, and she is, but that's what her audience, you know, slants toward, or at least that's what the model has been with a lot of black comedians. And she's a Be More girl, you know, she lets you know, she keeps it real. So I just have to wonder, you know, certainly there were economics involved in this offer that they made to her. But yeah. I also do think that there's always that underlying thing of sexism as well as race being a factor.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I don't think that there is, I don't know if there is, you know, a white woman out there that's having to fight for this, like, she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Well, I would say the older, I think certainly, I'm curious about what they paid Lily Tomlin and, what's home chick?
Jane Fonda?
Yes, for Frankie and Grace. I mean, especially Grace and Frankie, for especially the first season, you know, are the economics of doing a series the same as a special, that type of thing? I mean, I'm a Grace and Frankie fan, so it's,
yeah, me too.
You know, I'm sure they're making more money in this fourth season. It just was released last week, which I need to sit down and watch, but that's another issue. But I have to think they're making more money now because it's been one of Netflix's hit series. But what kind of money were they offered before? Because I know you hear about a lot of the older white actresses talking about, you know, there aren't that many roles for them, you know. Once they hit a certain age, it's over. You know, not everyone can be a Judi Dench, where, you know, that sister continues to command coins. Angela Lansbury is still on Broadway. You know, all these grand dames. And, you know, then we have our Cicely Tyson, you know, just, you know, and Jennifer Lewis, you know, the indomitable one. It's like,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
I mean, we do have those actresses that are of a range of ages, and you know, we know that there aren't a lot of plum roles out there for them, but the money part, you know, because I know with Tracy Ellis Ross, you were about to say something, go ahead.
No, and I just think that it just shows, I think, that kind of that we are valued less.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking as black people in general were valued less.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the women are valued less than the men. You know, so we're two men, so we, there's some male privilege.
Definitely.
But the ladies don't have that. So I think it's harder. It's definitely a harder thing for them. I mean, it's, they have more to go through than, they have one more, they have a more to go through than, I guess, theoretically, me and you would.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, in pretty much any field you can think of, I would say that women in general definitely have a longer road to go. I would say black women probably have had the longest road in history. And it is unfortunate because I think base, the system, you know, whether it be Hollywood, film, you know, the U.S. period, it was not designed for us. So everything that we get is much harder, but we did build this bitch. So, it's like, where are our flowers? I'm pretty sure that there was some things that have gone on that just have not been celebrated, obviously. But we do celebrate our own. But I guess for me, the question is, until we have our own avenues to put that kind of content out where Monique is valued and treasured, we're, you know, what's the argument? Is it, are we having the right argument at this point? I don't know. Do we blame Netflix for this, or I don't know?
I don't know. I think you have to blame the whole system. It's not just limited to Netflix. I saw the, you know, with Octavia Spencer, where she was in a movie with Jessica Chastain, and Jessica actually, from what I understand, I could be wrong, Jessica, once she knew, once Octavia Spencer explained how it had been working or was not working, Jessica, I think, had it written into her contract that Octavia get the same pay. Otherwise, if Octavia didn't get the same pay, then she wasn't going to do it. So I think in some ways there needs to be more of that, you know?
Oh, wow.
I mean, the other people that are in these movies and that are in this stuff in general, now that they, there's no way they cannot know that this is a thing. Mm-hmm. So the more that they know, I think they're going to have to step up and say, no, this is not fair. This is not right.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you want me to do this movie, you're going to have to be fair to everybody who's, give them their value, give them what they, their fair value.
Well, yeah, and I didn't realize that Jessica Chastain had done that.
Yeah, I may have the story not correct, but it's, she did something where Octavia was going to get her fair share. Whatever she was deserving, she got.
I have to applaud Jessica for being, you know, a strong ally in that situation. I was completely unaware of that. And I do think that that may be one of those ways to do that. But I also have to wonder whether, looking back in history, you know, white women have not always been on Earth.
I know.
They've not always given of their privilege to support other folks. I mean, I'm not a huge student of history, but...
Yeah, there aren't enough that are willing to do that. And slightly, not slightly off topic, but kind of the same theme, is the daughter of the governor, former governor, Ann Richards in Texas. During the women's marches, her daughter, I think her name is, well, I want to guess her name, but her daughter said that white women have to do better. That we cannot leave it up to black women to be voting for the for these people. You know, black women saved us, saved Alabama and us in the country from Roy Moore in Alabama, and I like that this lady, that she said white women have to do better, because they're not going to do better if one of their own isn't saying that. So
yeah,
I get it. So and we need more of that, but we do need to do more of our own too. We can't necessarily just sit back and expect everybody else to do.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, it seems crazy to me that, I don't know, I guess I look at history and I look at society, and if you are not a heterosexual cis white male of a certain, typically Protestant faith, with a certain amount of money, or access to money, or people with money, then this is not your world. And it's amazing to me that there are so many other folks. You have that us over there, this select group, and everybody else is them. And the them, we can't seem to get together to really change this system. It's unsettling, but I recognize it's human nature. It's self-interest, and it's hard to put someone else in front of yourself, because you don't know if they're going to have your best interest at heart when the moment comes.
That's, yep.
Because in history, we've seen that.
Yeah, that's true.
Folks have failed to do that.
You don't know.
Yeah, you absolutely don't know. Yeah, so I think looking at, we definitely see that this is a major issue.
Yeah, and what you're talking about, that whole hierarchy where, like you said, mm-hmm. white, straight, Christian men are at the top and everybody else follows.
And even with, like, Tracee Ellis Ross on Black-ish.
I mean, I heard that, I guess she's, I'm not sure what she's doing. I don't know if she's, is she protesting? Is she holding back? I don't know. I heard a blip about, but I don't actually know what she's doing.
My understanding is that she basically is certainly advocating for more, and the last I heard, she said that she may have to step back, and I don't know what that means.
Me either. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that was a little, it's like, I feel you, sister, but I don't know what that means exactly. So the story's still out. I think she probably, you know, recognizes, and that is the struggle for a lot of Black women, because it's like she sees the show, she recognizes what it means to a lot of us in the community, in the Black community. She doesn't want to diminish it, but at the same time, she's like, how much am I supposed to sacrifice for everybody else? You know, she's like, I'm not being treated fairly here.
Right. And I don't know. I don't know if her thing, like, is she the highest paid on the show? And she's just saying that it should be higher, or are other people getting paid more than her? Mm-hmm. Even though, in my opinion, she's the most famous person on that show.
Yeah, my understanding is that she's getting, Anthony Anderson is being paid 4 times more than her. But I also understand he has a producer credit, which is where the real money is. So okay. I don't know if that metric of her being paid a quarter of what he's getting is his salary for acting, or is that also his producer share that's factored in there? And I'm surprised that she isn't a producer. I think she has enough cachet at this point to have done that. But
yeah,
they also mentioned the show creator Kenya Barris is receiving more money than her. But again, I think that's the economics of Hollywood. If she were the producer of the show, then she'd be getting it would not be an issue. She'd be getting her money. But again, I've not really studied that stuff, so, you know, I've kind of picked up some knowledge of it over the years from just different conversations and, you know, studio tours and talking to some people in the industry. But yeah, I think she's kind of taking her time and not jumping out there and recording any videos asking folks to boycott ABC and everything else. You know, I'm like, sister, no. And I love Monique. I love her.
When I saw that, I was like, I mean, again, I thought I think it needs to be done. I'm glad she's doing it. But it's just hard because part of me, you know, I think unfairly, she was kind of given the reputation that she was difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. Again, that was allegedly something that happened between her and Lee Daniels. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, if that didn't do it, now this may be like, okay, well, we can't, we're just not going to work with Monique at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think this is going to perpetuate that thing that she's difficult to work with. If she's getting on Facebook or on social media and asking people to boycott, I just think it's going to be harder for people to want to hire her on their projects. Mm-hmm. And I just worry, you know, so it's good on the one hand because I think she's bringing attention to it and she's showing everybody what's going on. But at the same time, I just wonder if it's not going to end up coming back at her just because of the way the system is set up. It's, you know, it's not set up to give her what she's worth as a Black woman.
Yeah, I agree.
as a funny black woman.
There's always going to be a martyr for every cause, and I hate that it's her, because she is so talented, and she is just... She's one of the few people out there we have that's won an Oscar. And it's just, you know, and I know that they say there are folks out there with Oscars that are, you know, that are singing in lounges, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But her career is far from over. I mean, I think that she's certainly been very enterprising in being off the grid.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think it's over, but I do think that, I don't know, there's a lot of talk about her husband Sydney managing her, and that's a real detriment for her, and I'm wondering if that is, I don't know, I think it's not cool, you know. I don't want to disrupt black love.
No.
You know, it's like I do wonder. It seems like in the interviews that I've seen with them, Sydney seems like he is a pretty straightforward brother. You know, he's not, and that's his queen, you know, and he wants the best for his wife. And he's going to fight for that. I don't know if that's part of this whole idea of she's difficult to work with, that someone is advocating for her, much like she would advocate and cut a bitch for him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I do find it interesting, though, that you have a situation where you have a black man that is riding or dying for his woman, for the woman in his life, much in the ways that men expect the women in their lives to ride or die for them. And yet she's getting criticized and you know, being told, girl, he's just taking you down. Now, he might not. It may turn out that he ain't shit. You know, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could turn out that is the case. But I just find it ironic that you have someone here that is actually, like, truly riding or dying for the, you know, for his wife, in a way that brothers have expected women to ride and die for them. And yet he's, I don't know, she's still being blamed for that. It's like, you know, I mean, there's not this whole thing of, oh, he's a bad manager. I have not really heard that. I've heard that, oh, she's letting him just ruin her career. And I'm like, wow, you're still blaming her? I don't know. And that might be me going too damn deep. That might just be what that is. But I just found it ironic. I'm just going to put it out there and let it sit. And if it spoils and catches attention in the neighborhood and folks want to go look at it and say, well, damn, let's talk about this, and great. You know, I just found that really ironic. Because I know that a lot of sisters out there feel like brothers as a whole don't ride for them like they ride for us. And I'd have to say the optics make that very clear.
Yeah, I think black women are doers. They're going to go out there and do stuff.
Yeah.
And they hold a lot of things together. I mean, things would be really falling apart if we did not have, you know, black women doing what they're doing. And
Yeah, they shouldn't have had to save us from Roy Moore. You know, they shouldn't have. I don't know what the voter registration numbers look like in Alabama amongst black men.
See, and that was my thing too. Like, where are the black men? Where were they? I mean, the ones that are in a position to vote, you know, the ones that are where? Yeah, where were they?
Yeah, I don't know how many of them that were eligible actually were registered. How many of those registered actually did vote? And I think it was 92-93% of the black men that voted against Roy Moore, as opposed to 97-98% of the black women. But clearly, if they're saying black women carried the day, that 98, 92, that's not a huge gap. So I think the gap there is definitely there were more women that voted than men by far.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be what I would kind of pull out of that. So, I mean, you know, quiet as it's kept, this is, you know, obviously the idea for this show came about well before, you know, the Roy Moore election and all that. But the idea of black men not showing up, black men and some degree of brokenness, it was the impetus for this show, you know. But obviously, as black gay men, we wanted to have that focus there. But this is really for all men.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hang with us talking about, you know, our stuff from time to time, right, come on in.
Yes.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, I'm not...
I'm like, I am an appreciator of dick, and I'm going to talk about dick if that's what we're talking about.
Yes, both of us.
Yes. If you can hang, then come on in. If you can't, we wish you well.
Yes, exactly.
there might be something else out there for you. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a larger issue. You know, in talking about, you know, I think the other thing that this issue with Monique and Taraji and Tracee Ellis Ross brought up was this idea of knowing your value. And I think, you know, one of the things that really jumped out at me around, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is there is this call for us all to be there. And I found it interesting, you know, this one brother, I cannot recall who it was, but he posted, he said, you know, I'm cool being down for the struggle, but does my Black gay life matter as much as your Black straight one? You know, are you going to show up for me as a gay man?
Yeah, and that's where the issue is going to be. There's going to be some that are not going to want to.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like, you know, I think the devaluing of Black gay men is... I've certainly experienced it in much more subtle ways. I don't think I've really ever had the hardcore experience of, oh, well, you know, your gay ass ain't shit. I've never had that experience, but I know that a lot of us have. And I just wonder, you know, what are some ways that we as Black gay men that, you know, a lot of the time we're right alongside our sisters holding things up and holding things down. We are the uncles that are helping to raise the kids.
Right.
We are that guy that I always feel like Black gay men are cast as hairdressers and stylists and all that. And I'm like, yeah, that may be what a lot of us do and do well. We have that eye. We have an affinity for it. But I feel like the recipients of those gifts that we share with the world are often Black women. And so... I think because it is something that is showered on Black women, that it's somehow devalued, and therefore we are devalued as well. Our worth seems to be in whether we produce children and whether we are holding up this image of masculinity, which is just not attainable for most Black men.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's definitely the masculinity part that, you know, you're a man with another man, and you are downgrading. You're trying to take away the masculinity of Black men. I've seen things on Facebook like that. Yeah. So anything that shows that, you know, you're not some hyper masculine person means that you are doing harm to Black men, to all Black men.
Yeah, air and dirty laundry, certainly. That's one of the things that I often see, is just respectability politics, where we all have to put the best foot forward. We all have to be the right kind of Black person. You know, I remember hearing it from my grandmother back in the day with just, you know, when some of my cousins were doing stuff they didn't agree with. You know, it'd be like, you know, I just wish they would just, we can't have a world seeing us acting like this. And I'm just like, they act like that too. It's like, it's just framed differently when they do it, but they act a fool too. I think respectability, it's hard to get away from that though.
Well, yeah. I think part of devaluing, or however you want to say it, of Black gay men is coming from, again, like we talked about, some straight Black men, that whole masculinity thing, where, and I think part of it is also based that it's, I think it's some of the same hierarchy where even with us, I think maybe Black men are on top, and then there's Black women, maybe, or a gay man somehow, but we're still lower than straight Black men.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I would actually say that in a lot of straight Black men's eyes, we're probably lower than Black women, because at least with Black women, they're not by default trying to kill them with their asses on sight. You know, it's like, you know, the venom does not automatically come out with your typical Black woman. But certainly if they encounter one of us and recognize who we are, then it's like, oh, shit, you know, it's... And I have encountered that.
I have not, but...
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have encountered that where it's just like, oh, nah, this gay motherfucker, blah, blah. I'm like, really? I was like, I'm sorry. You ain't shit. I'm just like, you know, listen, I'm just, I mean, I really, I'm just like, how dare you look down your nose at me? What the fuck are you contributing to your community other than a dick and some sperm?
Right.
And bullshit. You know, it's often those brothers that ain't shit that will come at you that way. Or you got the Hotep segment that feel like, you know, for the black community to be whole and to be prosperous, they must be in charge. You know, the black cisgender heterosexual men must be in charge for us to be okay as a people. And I'm like, no, really, y'all grew up? I was like, you have shown that you should not be in charge of much. And it's not to say across the board, we're human, but...
Right. Not everybody, not all of them.
But. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not... Disclaimer, statements are not intended to be a blanket. If you were hit dog, then go on and holler. You know, it's just... I don't know. It's fascinating to me. But what do we do about this? I mean, what can we as black gay men do to kind of step up and really kind of demand our place? What is our place? And how do we demand it?
I think you don't put... My whole thing is like, I am very, very picky about how I'm treated. That is a thing I do not... Mm-hmm. Under like any circumstance where... There's a different set of rules for me as a black person or as a gay person. That is a thing I cannot stand. And so, and I've had to do some things, say some things to people. I'm like, no, this is not how this is going to work. If you're not going to do it to this person, don't bring it over here. You know, there's no reason why, you're black. So not that they're actually saying this, but they're thinking it.
No, they seldom say it.
Yeah, they say it with actions or face or whatever.
Yeah, the dog whistle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm like, don't have a different set of rules for me than you are for these other people over here. So I think you have to, and I'm not afraid to say that to people, you know, family or friends, you know, that, nope, I'm not going to, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to follow this. Whatever you're trying to do is not happening. It's not going to happen. And I just think you kind of have to be, you can't have to be a bitch about it. I think you can't be nice, because if being nice was going to bring it would already been happening. You know, if it was already going to bring you up to equal with everybody else, it would already have happened. So you have to be a bitch to make it happen, I think.
That's the microcosm for civil rights and women's rights and everything else. So being nice has not gotten us far. I think for me, I'm much more, historically, I've kind of chosen my battles, because if someone comes at me sideways in that way, I'm not always able to keep everything in check. It can get a little wild.
Wild how, though?
What
does wild mean?
Oh, I curse. Okay. I curse folks out. You know, hands might be thrown. I have looked at some folks like, ooh, if I didn't catch this case, you would be laid on the floor right now. You know, it's like, I can't be going to jail for whooping your ass. You know, I can't go to jail for your stupidity. Your stupidity should have consequences for you, not me. There are times where I've kind of looked at folks that have said some dumb stuff, and I've just kind of laughed in their face and walked away, which pisses them the hell off. I've had to basically say, well, that's an opinion, and walk away, where I let them know you ain't shit, and you're not even worth engaging with. But also letting them know, I don't agree with you, and I'm cool. I'm moving on. I've had to do that in professional settings. I've had to do it in the classroom, whether I was the student or the teacher. I've had students that kind of came for my wig, and I said, now look, this thing is pinned down, so you're not gonna snatch it off, first of all, and second, you are not equipped to snatch this wig. I've had that happen with colleagues. I've had it happen with my professors from back in the day. We might get into that great incident from years ago in a future episode. But folks will try you. they will try you. And I think that, unfortunately for us, as black men, as black gay men, you know, as black men, we have this whole thing of being the angry black man, you know, because then that makes you, no one can deal with you, and you're ostracized for that. But I think also, as black gay men, you know, we can't get too quote unquote hysterical, too snarky, because then you have those stereotypes that you got to deal with. So I really try to rise above the foolishness.
You are better than me. I mean, I think I let it get to me. I got to say something back. I just can't.
Oh, it gets to me too. But sometimes because I'm also able to kind of size people up and be like, you know, what's going to really hurt your feelings? Like, And I mean, if you're a person that really is trying to egg me on into some conflict, then I'm not going to give you that. I'm just going to be like, well, that's interesting. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't agree with you. And I'm walking away. And I will do it in a way that's quite shady. There's no mistaking that I just said, fuck you. I'm not above it to where I don't do. Oh, no. It's just a matter. Am I going to give you a full scale curse you out?
Again, I think I'm afraid of being pushed to that point. But because I don't know how I would react. But
I think, yeah, it's not a good thing for me to be pushed to that point. It's not healthy for them or me. it's just not. Because then you're going to get all the stereotypes and spades. And if he shows up, he going to show out. And I've not had him on display in quite some time. it's just not good for him to show up at a party. So, I don't know. So I definitely think it's, I guess I would say the advice I would give to any of us that folks come for in that way, the first thing is not to internalize it, because it really doesn't have much, if anything, to do with you. The only thing it has to do with you is the fact that you are present and you are a convenient target. Now, it's not to say that we're above reproach, because sometimes we can act a fool and we get called on our shit. But I would say if someone is coming at you in a way trying to diminish you because of who you happen to love or have sex with or whatever, that generally has nothing to do with you. That's their shit. It's not yours. And you can be that person that says, I'm not going to let you see me sweat. And you hold your head high and you step away, and then you deal with how you really feel about it later.
That's the hard part for me. But
That's the hard part. It is hard.
Because to me, I want to strike back. You're like, you strike me, I want to strike back. But I mean, the holding back and not doing something to me is what adds to being angry about the situation in the first place. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like people come at you like that. It's almost like they want to disrupt your calm and your peace. If I'm in the middle of a good day, I'm not going to let you take that away from me. I'm going to fight as hard as I can to maintain that. And sometimes me having a good day, a part of that is in confronting a challenge and saying, and keeping it moving. And just saying, wow, that was some shit. And it was hurtful. It's not to say it doesn't hurt. It does hurt. But I'm not going to succumb and let you just completely fuck up my day, is what it comes down to for me. But I know it's hard. There are some days where I have said things that I regret. It's like, I'm just like, that was not a good way to handle that. But they did invite that. They conjured it.
That was their thing, you know. I mean, I guess sometimes people will do stuff thinking they're going to get a certain reaction
that
they might not get the reaction that they're expecting. They may get more than they bargained for, and then
And that's the golden part of it. That for me, that's the bonus for me, because if I can understand what it is that you want from me or that you need from me, and I deny it and give you something and give you the opposite, that's a good day. I mean, because the system is set up that enables you to say that shit to me or to do those things to me, it doesn't mean that it gets to work out the way you want it to. It's like, yeah, this society is set up where you can call me out my name, You can call me this and that, and yeah, you might get paid more than me, or you may have more privileges, and your behavior is seen in more affirmative ways than mine is. But person to person, you and I both know you ain't shit. It's like,
right.
And
otherwise,
and,
they wouldn't even be worried about you if they.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like you pressed about what I'm doing, but you have all these advantages, and
if your life is so good,
mm-hmm.
why are you worried about me? Why do you care what I'm doing? Why are you trying to upset me or trying to disrupt my day if your stuff is so good and everything? You know what I mean? It can't be that good if you're trying to bring me down.
Exactly. I could see if I'm fucking you, I'm paying you. Paying my bills, we in love, okay, then you might have something to say. But none of those things are happening. Why are you talking to me?
But not even trying to ruin your day, though.
Yeah.
But not trying to ruin your day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a mess. I don't know. Folks are special. they're special. That's all I can put with that. I think looking at our schedule, we probably need to move ahead. So did you have any parting advice for the brothers and sisters out there on this issue? Or have you said what you got to say?
I think, again, just, I mean, I think taking some of what you said and just trying to, if they cause you any kind of issues, maybe, I don't know if it's not showing it or just giving them something completely different than what they were expecting. I mean, if they're doing something and they're expecting you to lash out and go crazy or whatever, if you give them, I don't give a fuck type of attitude back, then that might be, you know, that just might be something to do, just to have a completely different reaction than what they're expecting. And I need to be better at not letting things get to me like that. I need to be much better. And I need to work on that for me.
Well, I think one thing that, you know, even in those situations, and it's not like I'm able to keep my head up. You know, if someone does do something that's just like really hurtful, I might look at them and be like, ouch, damn, that was pretty, you know, pretty hurtful and hateful on your part. Well, that's how you feel. Ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, it's like, so, and, or I might be like, that was pretty, pretty hurtful and hateful. You feel better now? Because I think sometimes people don't know why they do the things they do. They're very good at what they're doing, but they don't always understand why they're doing it. And so for me, I'm just like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of taking me off my game. And I've had to deal with that quite a bit recently with folks that have really engaged me with the intent of upsetting and knocking me down. I think it's actually made me stronger because I just am like, okay, so really this has nothing to do with me. You have a problem and I'm not here to help you fix it. You need to work on that. I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful to you at all. But I mean,
it is.
You know, it's not to say you can't express how you feel about stuff. I just think that at a certain point, this idea of what you say about me, what you think about me, has nothing to do. It's none of my business. I think at a certain point that has to kick in, and it's interesting because, you know, one of my colleagues said that to me years ago, and I kind of looked at her like she was crazy, and I said, in the line of work we're in, what people think about us matters a lot. And she said, no, not really. You know, I mean, it's, I think I can hear her in my head now basically saying, no, not really. Your work speaks for itself. The rest of it is bullshit. And she had a point. I get it. It took 10 years, but I get it. You know, it's like, oh, I get that. That's wise. Thank you, sister. I get that. So, you know, once again, Black women run the world and run it well. You know, it's like they hold this bitch together. I tell you, they hold it together and protect it from itself. But okay. So now looking at our schedule, it's time to move on to our next segment. It's called Ask Your Brista.
Yes.
And this is our advice section where we get questions and requests for advice from Black women. So our first one came from a young woman that said, "My man wants me to strap on and fuck him. Should I be worried that he is gay?" Now, for those of you that don't know what she means by strap on, because I guess there are a few folks out there, it is called pegging, where a woman will actually put on a harness that has a hole in it that will hold a dildo. And she then works on her man and his hind parts.
Yep.
That's it.
And his hole.
She breaks that hole down. So sister girl is like, she said her man wants her to strap it on and fuck him. Should she be worried that he's gay? I'll let you start on this one, or did you want me to start? Because you know I talk a lot, so why don't you start?
I don't think she has the word that he's gay. I don't think so because I think if he wanted a real dick,
exactly,
he'd be getting it. You know, it's not like he has to go far. Or, there's all kind of apps and everything and all these kind of different places he can go to. So I think if he's asking you to do it and you're a woman, he wants a woman. He's looking for a woman to do it, not a man.
Yeah. When I first saw the question, I said, wow, this is like a really pretty emotionally mature man that he would actually say to his woman, particularly a black woman at that, like, baby, I need you to fuck me. Like, and
yeah,
I would say, well, first of all, he's being brutally honest with you and extremely vulnerable. Brothers don't have this kind of clearance to say this.
They do not.
Yeah, I was like, hell, even in the street, we're not even allowed as black gay men to be like, well, yeah, I like to take a little dick from time to time. We're not even allowed to say that without folks looking at us sideways. But that's another issue altogether for another episode. Yeah. We'll get there. But I would say to this sister, like, you are a lucky woman because, first of all, you have a man that is brutally honest with you. And it's basically saying, I know this is not necessarily in the playbook that you came up with, but this is something I need, and I want it with you. I don't want to get it anywhere, because as we said, there's plenty of dick out there.
Yeah, I think if he wanted that, he'd be getting it now.
And he only had to go far. He can just go next door in some cases and get the dick.
Yeah.
There are plenty of gay men out there that would just love to fuck a brother. Really? So, but I think, yeah, he's not gay. I think one thing that ladies need to understand, you know, when you talk about women and the G-spot, it's almost mythical. You know, it seems that way.
Yeah.
It exists. The Grafenberg spot does exist. It's kind of challenging to get to and stimulate for women. But for men, all it takes is a damn pinky. It is right there.
It's far easier for us.
It's right
there.
It's like if you want your man to be like ooh and hop out that bed, hit that spot, especially a straight one, because he don't even know what that thing does. He don't know what it
he's
does.
He's not used to being for his parts that his part of the body that part of the body being touched.
Yeah, he might have an exit only sign up over that sphincter. Trust me, if you enter and go down or up or toward the belly button, you own it.
Right.
Like, that's when it's like, oh, shit. That's why some of us enjoy taking dick, because it's a beautiful thing. Some more, one of my favorite comedians, dick is a beautiful thing. I love when she said that, because that's what she's talking about. Now, for women that might be intrigued by anal play, y'all have the biggest concentration of nerves, if not the biggest, one of the biggest concentrations of nerves in your ass. There's a reason why people like that. It's actually probably comparable to the Kit Kat in terms of nerve endings and just pleasure. Once you get your game together and you get that ass trained, it's like, oh, shit. I'm just saying, if you need something a little more interesting, if your girl is not as tight as she used to be and your man wants it tight, consider adding the bonus onto it.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. I know some girls that do anal and they're like, hell, that's my shit. It's like, because they like, you know what? Especially when you can make it wink at them, you can control it because you can milk a dick. I'm just saying. You can milk a dick with your ass. You can work it.
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, is I think there's a thing where it's like, it is okay to explore your sex, your sexuality. Yeah. It doesn't have to just be what you've read in or what you knew as just missionary sex or whatever. It just, that's the only way you can do it. That's all you can do. And it's, I think there's all kind of different things that people could do. And you're grown up, you have every right to explore. And that includes this, men, straight men who are trying to get fucked.
That's it. I'm like, it is in this whole idea of certain activities being labeled gay or this or that. It is just sex, y'all. It is your body. What makes it gay or straight is who you're doing it with. Period. Yeah.
And that's why, if he wanted it, if he wanted dick, I think he'd be going after dick.
Exactly. Because, like I said, there's plenty of dick out there. And I'm not even going to say what I was going to say because we already got sisters that are in uproar enough about this idea of DL men and bi men.
Well,
and,
that's true.
We're not going to go there.
That's also for another episode.
It's on the list. It's like we probably have about a year and a half worth of topic at this point on the list. So the show just seems to last that long. But
we're
gonna keep coming at y'all until you listen. Yeah, I just feel like, sister, do not be worried. I was like, be really feel highly valued and so loved that your man is gonna go outside of the box and say to you, hey baby, I really enjoy this and I need you to take care of this for me. Can you give it a try? Because really, if he's fucking you and enjoying that and you like it, and then you fucking him and you kind of like, ooh, because you can get a clitoral stimulator to put on the inside of that thing, so every time you go up against him, it's hitting your stuff too. What's the problem? What is the problem?
And plus, honestly, if you got something freaky that you're worried about bringing up to him,
thank you.
This opens the door for that too, because there is nothing I think more vulnerable than a straight man, straight black man asking for this. So he's taken it there, so I think that should open the door for you if you have something that has been on your mind but maybe you're afraid to bring it up. This should open the door for that. And
you got a unicorn, girl. That's a unicorn.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is a rare brother. That's all I'm saying. You got a man that does not give a fuck what everybody else has to say. He is going his own way, and part of going his own way is loving you hard. Because for him to ask that means that he loves you hard. It's just like he truly wants you to be his one and only. Now, if you happen to be like, I'd like to swing, then okay, he might be open to letting you do that. And he may do it with you. But I would say, first and foremost, ask for what you want. Truly, sexually and otherwise. Ask for what you want. If you're not being treated in a way that you feel fulfilled and loved, then you have the responsibility to say, excuse me, I'm gonna need you to do, or I'm gonna need you to say, do not speak to me in this way. It's up to you to do that. And he's taking a chance with you on making this request, and do know that this has nothing to do with him wanting to have sex with a man. He wants his prostate stimulated, period. And a finger is no longer cutting it. He needs something bigger.
Yes.
So dive into his world. At least try it once. Try to get over your issues about it.
Yeah.
You might be a good Christian girl.
Yes. I recommend start with something small and, see how you go if this is all brand new to him. But
now, if he got talent already, he'll let you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've just seen videos of, and some of them are just gigantic. Yeah. So I don't know if you you know, if you go along with this, I would let him pick the size, just, you know, that way he's comfortable and he's got more control, you know, some control in terms of how it might go.
And go to, actually make this a couple activity. The both of you go to a reputable sex shop, adult store that has people behind the counter that know what they're doing, and just say to them, look, we're looking for, you know, a harness and we're looking for a toy, and they're going to actually ask you the questions to help you find what you need. And they're even going to ask him, like, well, do you need a trainer kit? They have anal trainer kits to help you expand and you know, gain control of that.
Accept.
Yes, and be more inviting.
And accept some things.
You know, into your neti pot, so to speak. They have all that stuff on the market. And if, ladies, if you are confused about how to get your stroke in order, there are plenty of lesbians out there that have that shit down. Because I have to think working with the harness is a little different than a dick that's attached to you. You got to move a little different because it isn't as responsive, I don't think, unless you got the thing strapped on you so hard it hurts. You know, it's like where it's just cutting into your ass, you know. But, you know, there are some – ask, you know, inquire. And there are places for you to really learn how to work that. But I would say, you know, if you're even remotely intrigued, or even if you're, like, completely repulsed, you need to talk to your man about this. Because understand something, if you're not willing to do it, you cannot get mad if you come home one night and he is in the bed with his legs cocked open and a dick shoved in his ass. You didn't do it, so he took care of it his damn self.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
You can't be mad. Don't get mad if you find his dildo somewhere in the house. He gave you an opportunity. Now, if you become intrigued a year down the road, be like, so baby, I think I'm ready. And he'd be like, all right, well, let's go into the shop and get you a harness. It's like, you know, let's do this. So, and there's an episode of what, that show Broad City that talked about that? I think it was Broad City.
Don't know. I'm not
sure. I saw, like, the clip. It was hilarious. And the guy was just like, yeah. She was just like, oh, my God. Excited as he was, she was just as timid and disturbed. But, you know. She did it. Her homegirl was like, girl, you better do this. Do it for all of us. So it was hilarious. But yeah, sister, your man's not gay. You know, if he's tipping out with men, then you'd be concerned. But the fact that he came to you with this says to me he's not gay. He just...
Yes, I
agree. Yeah, he's in touch with his body, and that's a beautiful thing, you know? All right, so now it is time for listener letters. And yes. this is Dark Boy's territory. I don't know what he got for us today.
So I have two of them. They're short, but I think they're interesting.
All right. I like interesting.
So I'll read the first
all
one.
All right.
And this one is it's from Jamal in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta, Lord, Hotlanta. All
yes.
Right.
The guy I've been hooking up thinks it would be hot to film ourselves having sex. His plan is to put it online, but make sure our faces are covered. Mm. I'm intrigued, but worried about trusting this person with video footage of me. I don't know him that well. What do I do?
Oh.
I will say I have a little bit of experience.
Uh-oh. All right now. The darkness was on film.
So, yeah. So, a guy that I was seeing before, I guess that was his thing. He wanted to have to film us together. I actually didn't really care either way. I didn't have any feelings. I was kind of neutral about it, which was fine. The only thing I would say, well, let me take that back. I think being neutral is a little bit of a mistake because I don't think I asked enough questions.
Okay.
And so I think that it's good that that Jamal is, I think because you, my thing here is, yes, so your faces are going to be covered, but what happens, I mean, what happened to the original video that does show your faces?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that video? Where does that go?
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know this. I mean, you don't know this person very, very well, but, and obviously if you're writing, that means you're already worried about what would happen to it. For me, I would say it was fun to make the video, but then when the relationship kind of turned a different way, that's when it came up. Like, well, what about this video? And that's why being neutral about it was not necessarily, it wasn't the best for it. I don't think it was the best thing for me. Now, I got the videotape back, so I'm not, wasn't necessarily worried about it being out there, but I do think you have to, I mean, you have to ask what happens to the video that that does show your faces. If you want it out there, who has that? Where is it stored? I mean, is it on his phone and it can be stolen and uploaded somewhere? I mean, what happens? Does it get destroyed? You know, I think you have to ask that question. If you even want to, even if you agree to do it.
Okay. Now, I guess my response goes in two directions. The first one is, if you do not want to do this, don't. And you just,
right, exactly.
Yeah, be like, hell to the nah, and you're done with it. And again, this may not be the person for you, because again, they're communicating to you something that they, that may be a necessary part of their sex life. And if they're not willing to give it up, and they're not doing it with you, they're doing it with somebody. That's the first thing. Second, if you are intrigued, as you say, you have some options here. My first thing would be set up the camera in such a way that faces do get cut out. But if you have any identifying tattoos, birthmarks, and the like, you don't need to do that. Also, if it's in your house and folks can recognize your furniture, your sheets, and the like, don't do that at your house. That's why there are so many of these amateur films in hotel rooms and motel rooms. There's a reason for that. Also, if you don't have any identifying things and you're concerned, because I would be really bothered by trying to make sure my face is not in frame of the camera, I just wear a mask. You know, if you want to go in and do this, put a mask on.
That's true.
Put a mask on and get your freak on. Get your holla, your twirl, your twerk, whatever it is you got to do. Put that mask on.
Yeah, the mask actually is a great idea. I never even crossed my mind.
You know, I mean, there are obviously the mask is more of a fetish item for folks, but it can also be a protective device. I mean, I've seen porn where you got some famous actor that got his little mask on, and there are different types of masks. There are kinds that have the mouth open and the eyes, so you're not blinded and uncomfortable and all that. And this, I remember one, this guy, he was all lined up, you know, laid up, and there were about 3-4 guys working on him. And I was like, well, goodness, okay, good for him. He gets home all right, and, you know, the husband didn't find out what went down. Because that was the big concern he had. He had a sugar daddy, you know. But yeah, if you want to do this, find a way to protect your anonymity so you are comfortable, because for you, sex has to be comfortable to a certain extent.
Yeah.
When you feel safe and comfortable, have fun.
Yeah, and that's true, because then if you, I think the mask idea is actually a pretty good idea, because if you decide to do it, then all the you're not having to rely on somebody else to protect you. You already took care of that part of it. So they could put the video online with their face in it, but if your face is not shown, then maybe you don't have to even, you know, worry so much, you know, worry too much about it. So.
And there are people, now granted, if he has friends that know that he's into this, or they recognize him, and they also understand when it was recorded, they gonna know it's you, but you have plausible deniability because you have a mask on, and your body looks like a lot of other people's bodies. So if you have tattoos and all that, you might want to consider some body makeup to cover that shit up and have fun. It's like, you know, I mean, I, you know, if I were Jamal, I would be intrigued, because we all want to be a porn star on some level, you know, whether we want anyone to ever see the tape is another issue. Just the idea.
Yes. Well, you want to get in, getting out, you know.
Just, I want to keep it in house, you know, personally.
Yeah. Well, again, maybe you do, but again, this Jamal is obviously does not, he does not want that.
Yeah, Molly Ball, I understand. You don't want that getting out, and I'm with you on that. So yeah, just take the steps necessary to protect yourself, and, you know, protect yourself to your level of comfort. If your partner is not okay with that, then again, he ain't the one for you to be doing all this with. period. Yeah. You know, if he wants to see your face, exactly. then fine. You can have a mask that has your mouth open, because really when someone says, I want to see your face, they're really talking about your lips and your eyes. There are masks that yeah. can leave your lips open as well as your eyes, and they can see enough of that to get that emotional charge out of it. Yeah, so that would be my advice to Jamal. Get you a good mask yes. and get your freak on. Sweat it out.
Yes, exactly.
Sweat your wig off your head. You'd be all right. All right.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Next one. This was from Bruce all in right, L.A. Bruce. And my boyfriend is really into the idea of having sex in Lord. Public. He has already scoped out good spots for us to do it. I'm interested, but also scared. Should I do it?
Oh, Lord, Bruce.
I know. Now, I don't have any experience with this, so.
I don't
I have seen videos of people mm-hmm. having sex in public, and I could see how it's a turn on. Mm-hmm. And I guess the turn on is because of the risk and, you know, the risk of getting mm-hmm. caught, the risk of getting in some kind of trouble. So I could yes. see that. Whether you should do it, I don't know. Because, you know, what if you do get caught? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, for me, the reality is, and I hate to be all fatalistic about it, but if you were to do this and get caught, then you are officially, if you're prosecuted and found guilty, you are now a sex offender. Which means you exactly. have, at least in California, you have to register as a sex offender. You got to go to all your neighbors and tell them why you were on the registry. Your face is going, not cute.
Yeah.
Not cute at all. So I yeah. would recommend, dear Bruce, and by the way, I love that name, that you consider setting up a scenario where it's maybe outdoor sex with some safeguards in place.
Yes.
I do.
Maybe you're in the woods somewhere. Who knows? Where it's, you know, you're not exactly. at a Starbucks trying to have sex, but you're yeah. in the woods somewhere.
Or you can get your ass on the subway at 3:00 in the morning. Well, no, it don't run here that late. But yeah, no. I mean, I've seen some of those subway videos where I'm like, y'all just straight fucking on the subway. Damn. Dicks out and just on trains. And yeah, it's wild.
Right.
But yeah, I would say, you know, yeah, I like your idea of the woods. Make sure if you do something in public, you have an escape route in place. There's a contingency plan. I would actually clip my keys onto myself so you don't have to go scrambling looking for nothing. Get you a little ankle thing that you can put your keys on, or put it around your arm or something. So if you got the book with a quickness, you can just grab your shit and roll. Pull your pants up and
yes,
go.
Yes, exactly.
You can consider going camping or somewhere off the beaten path. You know, if you are a naturist and you know what you're doing out there, then you can go. There are some places, but yeah, don't go to Starbucks and cut up. If you can be slick enough to get in the bathroom on an airplane without them seeing you, go for it. But Mile High Club does not mean you're going to be fucking for 10 minutes. You got to keep that mess of 3 minutes or less.
Yes.
So you may only have time for a quick blowjob. But yeah, I guess I would need a little more information from Bruce about what type of scenarios are they trying to pull off.
Yeah, and he didn't say. Okay. He didn't say. I mean, this may be a good situation where you go to the body electric thing mm-hmm. we talked about at the beginning of the show. Because, you know, if everyone's already naked, then it can't be that big of a deal. I'm sure they probably have designated areas, I guess. I'm assuming. I've never been to anything like that. But
well, body electric,
that takes away the danger, I guess, if that's the term.
Well, that's not a sex. It's not a sexual venue. The body electric. It's
okay. Well, I'm sure there's some out there.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it, when you're not in class, if some guys are interested in one another, then they handle their business. But it's not. I mean, that's not a sexual venue. I would actually. My suggestion to Bruce would be, if you want the thrill of public sex, so to speak, go to a sex club or a bathhouse. They have plenty of exhibition spaces in there. There's always some sort of show space because you have porn stars that are always doing shows in bathhouses, at least in LA. And I think they're even, Yeah, they're just public spaces in there where anybody could walk by and see what you're doing if you want to be an exhibitionist and you want this idea of quote unquote being caught. You know, even by staff, because I think they really kind of want you to have sex in the sexual spaces as opposed to like the dressing area, you know. So there are, yeah, I mean, there are spaces that you can certainly go into. Maybe you go to a friend's house and screw in their backyard.
Try something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously you want to get permission, but that then takes the risk out of it. But yeah, I mean, even you can try having quiet sex, you know, in the backyard or something. I don't know. I couldn't do it. I personally, public sex, if I were to go there, I would have to make sure that I am well protected. Yeah.
100%.
There's a right. Contingency plans. Yeah. It's serious because I'd have my head on a swivel.
Which would take away for the enjoyment. Well, that might take away the enjoyment, though.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, why bother at that point? You know, I just, you know, Bruce, I'm going to have to say it's a no for me. It's just, I don't see any way to pull this off. You know, but again, if you want that element of danger and risk, then, you know, go for it. You're a big boy. You go for it. But just understand the consequences and understand who you are dealing with and make sure that whoever this person is, they are ride or die. You know?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
You don't want to get left holding the bag. Okay, so in our last couple of minutes, because we are nearing the 90-minute mark, which is our cap.
We are,
did you have any parting thoughts for our audience today?
I think the main thing that I'm realizing as I get older is do not be afraid to do stuff. Don't be afraid if you have some ideas of what you want to do to get your life better. Don't let fear be in the way of getting started. Just do it. If you fail, learn from the failure and take whatever you learn from that and just do it. You know, that's just my advice in general.
Okay. My advice would be that your past shapes you, but it doesn't make you. And that you are enough. You're good enough. Yeah. Just like Darkness said, I had to call you Darkness because I love that whole Dave Chappelle thing with Rick James. Like Darkness said, shoot your shot. Go for it. You never know what might happen. And if you fail, it just gives you feedback on, I probably shouldn't try that again or try it that way again.
Or just whatever you learn. Yeah, just learn something from it and
Failure is feedback. You know, it's just like, that way doesn't work. So what about this? What about that? Or, I didn't have the right mindset to achieve that. Let me work on this mindset and go at this again. Yeah, never give up. If you want it, go get it. That be a man, that be a relationship,
exactly.
That be that new job.
Exactly.
That business, that dish you've been wanting to cook, but you just can't get the kitchen. Whatever it is, go get it.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So from Dr. Pookie.
And Dark Boy.
We wish you a great week.
Yes.
Hang in there and keep it sexy and keep healing.
Yep.
All right, y'all.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
So there it is, the seemingly lost episode. I was able to get it edited, kinda. Sorry for some of the audio distortions, but that was our pilot episode that we thought would be lost forever. Much like our first take at an interracial dating episode, but that's what we first came up with. Had to cut out a lot, but happy to share it with you guys. As per usual, you can find us in many places online. Our email address, if you want to send a letter, have a question or a comment, is sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. We are also known as Pod Sexual on Twitter, and we're on there daily. We are also on Instagram as sexualhealingpod. Pinterest still kicked us off, but we're not going to get into that again. And we also have a Facebook group, Sexual Healing Podcast, colon from top to bottom. So our podcast is really evolving, and we're looking at just life from black gay male perspectives, from these two 40-something-year-old guys that have been around and seen some stuff and have plenty more to see. So we'd love to be in dialogue with you. We certainly encourage you and invite you to subscribe. We're currently on iTunes. Search for Sexual Healing Podcast. It should come up. Sometimes Sexual Healing doesn't bring it up. Needs that podcast word. We are also on SoundCloud, and we are on Google Play Music as well. And hopefully we'll be on Spotify soon. So, once again, this is Dr. Pookie signing off, and happy to share this lost episode with you. And we'll see if we can somehow resurrect that interracial dating episode, because it was very different than the one we put out recently. But okay, that's all I got. It's time to get me some chips and a little dip and chill on my couch. So, wish you guys the best. Keep it positive, keep it sexy, and always healing. This is Dr. Pookie signing out for myself and for Dark Boy. Take care, guys.